Howdy do, I'm James Baquet, also known as the Temple Guy. Come along with me while I go back and revisit the first non-Buddhist temple I ever went to in China, and meet the first non-Buddhist deity I ever met in China, on this episode of
Temple Tales.
For over a decade, I made my home in the Chinese boom town of Shenzhen, just across the border from Hong Kong. And for virtually all of that time, except for the year I lived in a Buddhist temple in Jiangsu province, I taught at a college in the very northern portion of Nanshan, at that time the largest, by more than double, of the four districts within Shenzhen's special economic zone. The SEZ was an experiment in capitalism that has since been expanded to cover the whole city. In my day, there were six districts, four inside and two outside. The latter have now been further divided so that there are a total of nine districts, all inside. Nanshan is an area of great historic significance, both ancient and modern. It was at one time the county seat of an area that embraced virtually all of modern Shenzhen, Hong Kong to the south, and Dongguan to the north. The area fell from prominence during something called the Great Clearance, a most amazing event. Here's what happened. Early in the Qing Dynasty, there arose a pirate, properly named Zheng Chenggong, though we usually call him Koxinga. Loyal to the ousted Ming, he caused the Qing no end of trouble. So effective was he that in 1661, the Qing issued the first of several edicts that evacuated the coastal areas of the provinces, all the way from Guangdong, where Shenzhen is located, up to Shandong, just south of Beijing. Every place up to around 16 miles, at first, was to be cleared of its population. Imagine, some 16,000 people were driven inland from the Shenzhen-Hong Kong area. The purpose was similar to that of a scorched earth policy. With no populace or product, there was nothing that could be requisitioned to support the pirates' cause. After 1669, the order was rescinded at the insistence of local governors, and people began to trickle back in, though the evacuation was reinstated from 1679 to 1683. The area never fully recovered after that. But then, rural Hong Kong began to develop in the 1850s, when it was taken over by the British after the Opium Wars with the Qing. But Shenzhen remained asleep. Until the 1980s, that is, when Deng Xiaoping instituted a zone practicing, quote, socialism with Chinese characteristics, end quote, that is, capitalism, and the boom began, in Shekou, as it happens, in the southern part of Nanshan. When I lived in Shenzhen and worked at the college, my schedule seldom kept me in the classroom more than four mornings a week, with little prep or follow-up to do. With plenty of time on my hands, then, I turned to my favorite pastime, temple crawling. I'd been told repeatedly that there was, quote, only one temple, quote, in Shenzhen, the huge Hongfa Buddhist temple located in a botanical garden at the other end of the city. That was just not true. I have rooted out dozens, and in this episode I'll introduce you to a few of the ones I found in Nanshan. These are decidedly not Buddhist temples, but some of them display Buddhist features. This requires a little background in the four Jiao. It's widely reported that China has three traditional Jiao, or teachings, meaning religions. Rujiao, Confucianism, is the well-known system originating with the teachings of Kong Fu Ze, or Confucius. It's more philosophy than religion and focuses on the development of a righteous person and a humanitarian way of governing society. The Ru in its name is simply a word that means Confucian scholar. Daojiao is Taoism, transliterated these days with a D, but formerly with a T, so it's often pronounced by the unknowing as Taoism. It's a long story. Founded by the perhaps legendary Lao Tzu, which simply means old boy, it, like Confucianism, is not so much a heaven-focused religion, but rather a way, the meaning of Tao, of being in the world. Fojiao is Buddhism, which I don't think I have to describe to you. Fo means Buddha. Notice that in many forms it too lacks an object of worship, but is rather centered on self-improvement. What I've described here are the pure, philosophical forms of these teachings, but at street level they've become blended together, and popular practices such as ancestor worship, propitiation of spirits, and summoning of luck have crept in. This is the fourth Jiao, and in fact, the one more commonly found than the others. In my first year in China, I wrote this, quote, "Luck. To the Chinese, it's like water to fish. The element in which they live, move, and have their being, as unexamined and taken for granted as the air we breathe. Luck is so important to the Chinese that it has been institutionalized. In Hong Kong, instead of runoff elections, close races are decided by lottery. Luck knows best." End quote. And that is the ultimate goal of all of the teachings as far as the everyday Chinese person is concerned. A temple is primarily a luck factory. While Buddhism focuses on Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the many folk Tao temples in China do not hesitate to call their denizens gods and goddesses. It does no good to try to tease out a god's Jiao affiliations. Is he Confucian? Is she Taoist? Just go with it. The first non-Buddhist deity I ever met in China sits in the first non-Buddhist temple I ever visited in China, as well as in several smaller ones in Shenzhen. That first temple also happens to be the largest temple in Nanshan, and in fact, the largest of its type in all of Guangdong province. This is the Tianho Temple, actually palace, a common designation for large folk Taoist temples, at Chuan on Nanshan's southern coast. While the name Tianho actually means Empress of Heaven, this is a posthumous title conferred by an emperor in 1683. She's better known as Ma Zu, maternal ancestor, a name which, through a misunderstanding, came to be applied to Macau, where there's a major Ma Zu temple. Some Portuguese visitors pointed toward the temple, and meaning to ask the name of the city, asked, "What is that place called?" The answer they got, "Ma Zu's place," was thenceforth applied by foreigners to the city that locals call Aomen, or Gateway to the Bay. As for the figure herself, she's said to have been one Lin Monyang, a late 10th century young woman from Fujian province, who is revered by seafarers of all kinds, especially fishermen and sailors. Legend, of which there are many, says she was born into a family of fisherfolk and at age 16 miraculously saved her father and brother or brothers from drowning during a storm. She died unwed at 27, 28 Chinese style, though some say she died at 16 from exhaustion after saving her male family members by remote control. You'll find her temples wherever you find communities of seagoing Chinese. There's one a few hours north of us here in the Philippines, inspired by the gratitude of stranded Taiwanese fishermen. The temple at Chuan dates back to the Northern Song Dynasty, which was from 960 to 1127, but it was really put on the map by the Ming Admiral Eunuch Zheng He. They say that in the early 15th century, Zheng's fleet encountered a storm in the nearby Pearl River Delta, and Tianho saved them. Zheng had a tree planted at the temple in Thanksgiving, and it's still there! People today tie wishes on red tags onto the tree. Tianho then appeared to the emperor and told him to build, or maybe enlarge, her temple at Chuan, though a more prosaic version says that Zheng himself initiated this appeal. When you visit today, there are several eye-catching attractions. Sun and moon ponds, representing yin and yang, stand at the south end of the grounds. The sea used to be just beyond the wall where a freight yard now lies. By the way, the last time I visited, those ponds were gone. Two or three halls in the area house small museums. Just north of the, now non-existent, ponds are the quaint bell and drum towers, and the main gate with its ornate dragon-bedecked columns. Model boats are parked in the gate, reflecting Tianho's assistance to sailors and fishermen, and rooms just inside the gate hold statues of deities donated by those who could no longer house them. The central courtyard features a large turtle pond, an incense pavilion where 14 and 28-day coils of incense are burned for the ancestors, a well which legend says is inhabited by the spirit of a young boy who drowned in it, and the aforementioned wishing tree, under which rests a small shrine to 2D, the genius Loki, or spirit of the place, often erroneously called the Earth God. Also in the courtyard are two tall incinerators where visitors burn donations to the dead, ghost money, grave goods, and whatnot. The incinerators are decorated with panels bearing beautiful images of the eight immortals on the two lateral front panels. We saw those in episode 23, and a dragon and phoenix on the back panels. Finally, in the main hall, we see the great lady herself with her various attendants, including the demon-faced generals who can see and hear a great distance. There's a statue of Guanyin to the right of the altar, here considered a goddess of mercy rather than a bodhisattva of compassion, and a statue of Tsai Shun, god of wealth, is on the left. Also on the side walls are exquisite paintings of the 18 arhats, usually associated with Buddhism. And Tianho's bed and washstand, used during her birthday ceremonies, sit in a corner. Now about those generals, who are found in most Tianho temples. Qian Li Yan, or Thousand League Eyes, is a green ogreish guy usually standing on the goddess's left, our right, shading his eyes. He can see far. Shun Feng Er, favorable wind ears, is red or brown, stands on the other side, and cups his ear. He can hear far. Colors and positions may vary from temple to temple. They're best identified by their gestures. Both attend to Tianho and help her rescue fishermen and sailors, but it wasn't always so. Legend says that they were the ruthless generals Gao Ming and Gao Jue, treacherous brothers in the Shang dynasty. Having died in a battle on Peach Blossom Mountain, they remained and haunted the place. Tianho, or Ma Zu, passed through there one day, and the brothers began to vie for her affection. To get rid of them, Tianho gave them this challenge. She would fight them, and if they won, she would marry one of them. But if she won, they would have to serve her forever. She won, and they serve her still, looking and listening for those who need her help. Now, here's something you won't see in most Buddhist temples. This temple features several ways to get your fortune told. First, there are chim, bamboo sticks marked with numbers. You shake the can they're in until one falls out. An attendant gives you a slip of paper for a price with the corresponding number that tells you your fortune. Alas, only in Chinese. Also, there are two moon blocks, crescent-shaped pieces of wood that are thrown on the table for divining yes or no. In some temples, two sames, both blocks landing with the rounded side up or both down, mean yes, and two difference, one up, one down, mean no. In other temples, this is reversed. Check before making any decisions based on this. Finally, there's a priest or fortune teller available, usually on weekends, for consultation, especially on matters of luck. You can also purchase offerings to the goddess or the ancestors, incense, oil, paper goods for burning, etc., at the side counters. Tianho is by far the most popular Tao or folk deity in the coastal regions of China, and Nanshan is no exception. Let me mention a few more of her temples in the area. The Chuan Temple sits very close to Chuan Bay at Shekou, with just a shipping operation separating the temple from the sea. If you work your way around the nearby Xiao Nanshan, Little South Mountain, next to the large mountain for which the district is named, you can climb a whole bunch of steps and reach an ancient temple dedicated to Ma Zu. The view of Ma Wan Bay from there is spectacular. Three more Tianho temples, each comprising basically a single hall with a small courtyard, are scattered around the southern part of the district. A little over a half mile to the west of the big Tianho Palace at Chuan is a little-known tomb belonging to the last of the Song emperors, sort of. His story is a sad one. In brief, the Mongols of the Yuan dynasty were sweeping up after defeating the last real Song emperor, Zhao Qi, known as Duzong. That last emperor was the father of three young boys who technically, but not effectively, succeeded him before the Yuan solidified their power. His son Zhao Xian, the last seated Song emperor, was captured and deposed, at age 6, in 1276 by the Mongols. Members of his court fled to South China, along with his two brothers. One of these, Zhao Shi, age 9, was declared Emperor Duanzong, but he died after only 2 years in 1278 in what's now Hong Kong. His protector, Ho Wang, is still revered as a god there. A legend about this boy, also called Zong Di Zheng, gave the Kowloon district of Hong Kong its name. There was a belief that the young emperor would be safe if he were sheltered in a place with 9 dragons, which is a common motif in Chinese folklore. Kowloon is surrounded by 8 mountains, understood to be dragons in geomancy. When the young emperor pointed out that they were minus 1 hill, his retainers optimistically informed him that he was dragon number 9. Turns out they were wrong. I read somewhere he died of the flu, but I can't prove it. Anyway, Kowloon is an English transcription of the name they gave the place, which means 9 dragons. In Mandarin, Jiu Long. Zhao Shi's younger brother, Zhao Bing, then became the last Song emperor. When the Song fleet was about to be defeated at the Battle of Yamen in the Pearl River near Guangzhou, the loyal prime minister of the left, Liu Xiufu, leapt into the sea holding the boy emperor, ending his and the boy's life as well as the Song dynasty's struggle against the Yuan. Many members of the court did the same. Local legend takes over from here. A little body washed up on the shore, wearing the yellow dragon-embroidered robes of an emperor. At the same moment, a board fell from the interior of the nearby Tianhou Palace. Devotees who recovered the body prayed at the temple to find out what to do with it. The goddess Tianhou answered, through a medium, that the fallen board had been given to make a casket, and that the boy was to be entombed nearby, today a 15-minute walk west of the temple. Now, remember the faithful retainer Ho Wong who accompanied the boy emperor who died in Hong Kong? His real name was Yang Liang Jie. Ho Wong is an honorary title. They say that despite his own poor health, Yang stayed behind after the death of Zhao Shi to ensure Zhao Bing's escape. He thus became a local hero, and there are at least 11 temples dedicated to him in Hong Kong, and at least two in Shenzhen, quite near each other. The larger and more interesting is in Xiangnan Village in Nanshan, where a large tree spreads out just west of the gate. Two more ancient ficus trees, 100 and 300 years old, respectively, stand on the grounds. The temple interior is pleasant enough, with Ho Wang flanked by several other deities. Back to the west and a little south on Qianhai Road is the front of another small Ho Wang temple. You'll need to go around the back and seek entry to a building compound to enter this one. Only diehard temple fans, like moi, would find it worthwhile. Well, that's about it. We'll return to Shenzhen another time to take a look at some of the smaller temples featuring a variety of unusual gods and goddesses. Until next time, may you and your loved ones and all sentient beings be well and happy. Adios, amigos! So, you want to do me a little something-something? Check out the newsletter, which serves as the show notes for this episode, number 033, at templetales.substack.com. You'll find pictures and links, and at that address, you'll also find the archive with all of the newsletters. I think you'll be glad you did. In the next episode, it's Dharma Day! Let's examine the proper etiquette for visiting a temple and learn how to behave more like a pilgrim than a tourist.